And to learn more about ANWR, we are joined by Matthew Kotchin, who's a professor of economics at the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And tell us about the history of ANWR. How did it become a protected area?
Well, ANWR is sometimes referred to as the refuge, which is the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The area that most people are concerned with is the so-called Section 1002 area. And how does it get that name? Well, in 1980, there's the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, which prevented the entire refuge from being explored and having natural resource extraction, except for one area. And the section of the Act, 1002, set aside a particular 1.5 million acre section that could potentially be opened up to drilling and natural resource extraction, but it requires an act of Congress. And this was because it was considered an area that was potentially very rich in natural resources.
Potentially very rich in natural resources, but then why cut it off to drilling?
Well, I think that many people consider the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to be one of the crown jewels of nature conservation. Some people refer to it as the American Serengeti or the last great wilderness area. And so it was basically a conservation initiative in very much the same way that we established national parks throughout the history of the U.S.
What's there exactly that is so great?
Well, there's wildlife, there's Arctic tundra, it's a beautiful scenery. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the pictures of the area, but it's a real pristine natural area that in many ways has been untouched by human development. Many people are particularly fond of the musk oxen there and also the porcupine caribou herd. That's above ground. Below ground, I think there's quite a bit of oil.
How much? Do we know how much oil is under there?
Well, you know, it's speculation, and the truth is a lot of sort of exploration of the area hasn't taken place in quite a while because it has been not allowed. That is changing now where exploration is possible. But some recent estimates, we did some work on this about 8 or 10 years ago and used some of the best information from the U.S. Geological Survey. And of course, the amount of oil that's available depends upon current technologies, and it also depends on the price of oil. But at a price in the mid-50s, the estimates are that there's about 7 billion barrels of oil. So how much is that? Well, that's just under about 1 year's supply of U.S. consumption.
So do we know what the drilling for oil in that refuge would do to the wildlife and to the environment there?
Well, it's hard. There has been some studies on this, but of course it's very speculative because you don't know exactly where the drilling would take place. You don't know the infrastructure that would be built. Many people are concerned with the sort of seismic analysis to try to figure out where the oil is, how that drives over the tundra, and it could do some damage to the land. There would be the drilling pads that would have to be constructed and also the pipelines to distribute the oil and to bring it ultimately to market. So to give you a perspective, that 1.5 million acre area is about just larger than the state of Delaware and about half the size of my home state of Connecticut. So I think that the footprint of where the development for the extracting the oil would take place is actually not that big. But of course, pipelines run across the landscape, and many of the concerns that are that it would affect migratory patterns of things like the porcupine caribou herd in particular.
So what are the chances, do you think, that it will be opened up to drilling right now, given the politics of the moment and given the fact that a lot of politicians in Alaska want it to be opened up to drilling?
Well, you know, this has been going on for several decades. ANWR comes up every few years as a possibility. But, you know, the arguments in support of drilling now, potentially opening up, have actually changed. Historically, interest in getting the oil from the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge has been focused on increasing the supply of oil, which would reduce the price of oil, which would potentially help consumers. That there's concern about reliance on foreign imports and national security concerns in the United States, and also the focus on jobs. The argument now has changed in the sense that this is a focus on using the oil as a potential source of government revenue in order to impose some tax cuts. So it's a little bit unclear, and the politics, as everything in politics these days, are a little bit hard to predict, but the context within which we're considering the drilling there is quite a bit different now because the production in the U.S. of oil is higher than it has been in over a quarter of a century. It's more than double than what it was 10 years ago. Our imports are down about half of what they were about 10 years ago. So really, we're just talking about money here in terms of federal royalties and bonus payments from the oil extraction.
Is there any area in the world that is comparable to ANWR?
I think many people would say the answer to that is no. Up in those northern parts on the globe, there are not a whole lot of areas like that. And I think that that's the concern, is that this is an area that is very unique, treasured, and part of what many people would consider our national identity.
That's Matthew Kochin, who's a professor of economics at the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.